I was either driving really fast and slipped on gravel, or I was hit by a car or something. But like my neighbor found me on the road, thrown up blood. And I went to the emergency room and I slipped into a coma. I ended up breaking my back and I had a brain injury.
Welcome to Unexpected Turns, where myself and Ibn, along with my two best friends, Beverly and Julie, get to talk to some remarkable people whose lives haven't gone as planned. Today, we talk to Trevor Jones, a promising young athlete who suddenly found himself coughing up blood at the side of the road. No idea how he'd got there. He also had a broken back and numerous other injuries. Just how do you overcome that and fight your way back? But fight he did. All Trevor wanted was for things to get back to normal. But would they ever be normal? Here's Trevor Jones, a new normal.
Hi, Trevor. Good morning.
Nice to meet you.
I've got to say, Trevor Jones, that's a very Welsh name.
Yeah, no, my family's definitely from like over there. So my mom's from Scotland, my dad's from like Northern Europe and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I was a Jones before, so good name.
I agree. It's not too bad. Well, it's late afternoon for you guys there, right?
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah. Before we get started, Trevor, all those pictures behind you.
Yeah.
You've obviously traveled lots of places.
Oh, actually, it's funny because it's like, this is kind of like my bucket list of places that I want to go. So like,
oh.
I probably checked off like four on this other side. There's like, we'll pick to see if I can do this up. There's like Stonehenge and like London.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Ireland and Scotland and stuff, but yeah, these are all the places that I want to go. So just thought I'd
cool.
Put up all my to-do lists. So
yeah, absolutely. I like that. Visual representation. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dream. I love it.
We need our inspiration. Well, welcome very much, Trevor. It's a pleasure to have you here all the way over from America, just outside Denver, is that right?
Correct, yes.
We're delighted that you've come on here because you've had several unexpected turns in your life. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your early life and what happened to you as a teenager? Is that all right?
Yeah, sounds good. As a kid, I mean, I was big into sports and, you know, activities like that. So I did a lot of things there. And then I actually got into riding dirt bikes. And I got one for my 13th birthday, and not long after, I actually don't remember what happened, but I was either driving really fast and slipped on gravel, or I was hit by a car or something. But like my neighbor found me on the road, thrown up blood. And I went to the emergency room and I slipped into a coma. I ended up breaking my back and I had a brain injury, and I had a bunch of nerve damage and a bunch of internal bleeding. So I was in the hospital for several months. And then when I came out, I did some rehab and then went and I lived in a hospital bed in my parents' house for like 3-4 months. So like I couldn't walk for about a year. It took me about a year and a half to run.
Wow.
And I had to take some time off from school, and I got a tutor and did all that stuff from home, from my bed. And then, worked really hard. And then like, I went back into school and like, I play baseball. And so like everything, you know, was back to normal. Although I had to work really hard, make up grades, and I ended up losing, about 75% of my eyesight. That's kind of like the thing that came out of it. So I just, you know, overcame that stuff. And, you know,
how did you do that? You know, to be in a hospital bed and not walking with a broken back, how, you know, where did you find that strength to say, actually, I'm going to get back on my feet?
I don't know if it's necessarily strength. I mean, I would like to hope so. But I just think that it's when you don't have any other options, I mean, you know, it's just, you have to just do it, you know. I mean, you don't have really a choice. I had a great family. I was with my dad, my mom, my sister, so it's kind of like a team effort getting through things. But I mean, like me and my dad talked when I was a kid. I mean, just, you don't have a choice, and you just, things happen, and you just have to just make do with it. I mean, the other option is just to lay down and, you know, hope that all goes well and just forget about things. But really, that's really isn't a good option. So for me, like, I just kept pushing forward, and, you know, just hope for the best, and things worked out. I made it through school, and I played baseball, and just decided that, like, I just wanted to go focus on school. So I went to the Colorado School of Mines and did chemical engineering. And I really thought that I wanted to go to med school, just based on the whole accident and injuries that I went through. Just because I figured I liked, you know, taking care of people, and I liked being able to share kind of like what I've been through with others. So that's always been like a hope, but I didn't want to end up not getting into med school, so I want to have a good backup. So I went and did engineering, and then went on to medical school at University of Arizona after that. And then, like I was telling Ann, I mean, things just take a, like you said, unexpected turns. Like, I made it through med school. Like, I was the top of my class. Decided I wanted to do dermatology, partially because my sister's had skin cancer when she was a child. And so, like, I had an interest in that area of the field. So I studied really hard for that. I traveled, I did a lot of research, I took some time off. I matched into the top dermatology program in the country. And I was in my residency, and I was walking across the street in a crosswalk. And I was like 75, 80% of the way through of the crosswalk. So I was looking down the road, because nobody thinks they're going to get hit by a car when they're about to cross.
Gosh, no.
So yeah, a girl was texting, and she ran a red light, and she hit me at about 40 miles an hour. And so, yeah, I mean, I ended up breaking my skull, and, you know, broke some of my back and broke some of the bones. I got another traumatic brain injury, and I had a bunch of new injuries that I had to work with. And so the process kind of started all over again. I had to work and just kind of go through a bunch of therapy and recover. And
Because you were only 28 then, weren't you?
I was 28, yeah. So yeah, I'm getting old, and so
Oh, not from our point of view. So just going back to your first accident, you made a recovery that was complete, or did you have limitations after that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I that accident, like, I broke my back, I broke my pelvis. That's why it took me so long to walk. And I bilaterally paralyzed, and, like, I had to took a lot of effort to get back. But when I came back through the recovery process, like, I was totally back to normal. Minus, I lost that vision loss was in my first accident. So I never was able to drive. I very close to my family. They took me around. I always lived close to places I need to be, or, you know, friends, Uber or whatever. But yeah, I couldn't drive. Just ended up losing the eyesight from that accident. But otherwise, everything else did return to normal as far as I remember. So just took a bit. So.
So how is your vision now in terms of your
I still have the same, like, field loss, where like, I can't see to the right side and below my nose and stuff. But everything I see is 20/20. The reason why this accident was so difficult is because I damaged, like, the facial nerve on my face. And so when your eyes coordinate together, it requires a lot of your facial muscles for your eyes to move together. So imagine having, you know, two telescopes of vision And for it to coordinate to one, complete cohesive piece, you need to have them in sync. But when the nerves and the muscles were injured on this one, they would get out of alignment. So it'd be kind of like having two different pictures that weren't cohesive together. So yeah, that's been, kind of been one of the issues for this one, but that has come back through a lot of therapy and a lot of things I've had to work with. So the only limitation now that I have is along with what I had before is that I don't practice medicine anymore because like I was doing surgery. So like I sutured and did a lot of cosmetic facial surgery with dermatology, but I lost my depth perception. So, so for me, making incisions and doing suturing on the face, especially, in cosmetic regions, like you
Precision,
need to have, especially like for some really good fine motor control. And I unfortunately lost that. So what happened is I can't get private practice insurance because of that.
That must have been devastating, just having not long qualified to something that you've always wanted to do, to have to give it up.
It's not been a great thing. I mean, I was like really unhappy for a very long time. But I mean, at the end, like again, I have a great family, and you just kind of, they helped me just to realize that, like, just got to turn directions, you got to pivot in life. And so that's what I did. Like, I have an engineering degree, so like I do some stuff with that, and medicine. I still like to stay involved with it. My brother-in-law is a doctor, and I help out my family and my friends. But yeah, I can't practice anymore because of the insurance issue. So yeah. So, but it's okay. Like I said, things can always be a lot worse. And for me, I mean, they're not that bad. I mean, I you hear like, I'm sure people have had some unexpected turns in their life that are not, they don't end up where at least where I am. And like, I do feel very fortunate for all that's happened and been able to pull my way through things. And just can't look back, and it's the way it goes. So.
So was there a prosecution, the person who was texting?
So I don't know what it's like in the UK, but in the United States, or it's very, different based on state. Oh, you're fine. So yeah, it's different based on state. So in the Colorado, if you were to hit someone in a crosswalk, texting or drinking or whatever, if you don't kill the person, the most that you can get is a couple points on your license and a fine. So that's,
Really?
yeah. So like you won't go to jail, you won't anything like that. It's very lax laws as far as pedestrians' rights in crosswalks and things, to really, have any significant impact on the person who commits the crime. They would have to actually kill the person. So you can maim them or hurt them really bad,
Good grief.
but there's not a whole lot of repercussions that they can have.
Unbelievable, isn't
So
it? But it completely changed your career path.
just life changing. And it's sad too, because it's like here in the United States, it's actually kind of like an issue, especially with, drinking, driving, texting is a big one, and especially here in Colorado, like, marijuana, everybody is kind of, impaired to a certain degree. But I don't think that the level of ability to go after people who commit those types of incidents has reached the point that maybe it has in your country. So it's a work in progress to see where that goes. But yeah, life changing kind of an event. Unfortunately, like I said, it could have been a lot worse. Just,
You sound very positive. You seem to be picking up all the positives on all the time, and you don't seem to hold any grudge against this lady. You just seem to have said, "That's it, I'll move on." Would you describe yourself as somebody who is content as a person?
I'm content. I'm happy with the way that like things have gone. I mean, is everything? No. I mean, would I like to things to be different? Sure. But I mean, am I glad that I'm not laying in a bed quadriplegic or paraplegic? Yes, I'm extremely happy about that. And I'm able to, things didn't turn out the way that I planned, but like it is still in my mind a normal life, and I still have a lot of friends and family and like girlfriend that I really care about, and things are always they're there, they're good. I mean, they could always be a lot worse, and I like to volunteer and help people, and like work with people in like traumatic brain injury center and talk to them that had these types of accidents, because in my like I was saying, like it doesn't always turn out that things go so well. I've known a lot of people that their life is severely altered, and like I said, there's unexpected turns, but you gotta bend with the turn, and like you can't look back and think that you wish that you'd gone a different way, or feel sorry for yourself, because I mean there's like no fixing it. That's always been my thought, and it was.
Trevor, how have you used this sort of incredible kind of resilience that you've got, and drawing on these strengths to help others? What sort of principles?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, so as far as like going and trying to help people, like I mean, I like going to like traumatic brain injury groups, and like or like talking to people online or people that I meet, and just kind of like giving them advice or helping them through the things that they're going through. As far as principles go, I've going through this whole thing, there's a number of things that going through major incidences and traumatic injuries that you really should stick to. Like I have a couple in my life. I mean, it always like it depends on like your family, your type of infrastructure that you have, your relationships, your stimulation, mental, physical, and socially. And for me, like I will personally believe like physical activity, like working out, is a major key, both like mentally and physically. So for me, that's been a major part of my life. And like even to this day, like I mean I it's something that like I hold very dear, is staying active and physically in shape, because your ability to rebound from things in life is contingent on your body's ability to do that. And like the better shape you're in, mental, physical, all of that, the more you're able to bend with the unexpected turns that you encounter in your life. And so that's something that I've always held dear and always tried to pass on. There's other things that I've learned that I like to share with people, but that's definitely one of the ones that I hold dear going forward in life, and like talking and working with people. I would like to get into more of like coaching or like talking and like helping people, like you more on like a more available level and ability to like reach out to more people. Because right now, I mean, I just it's people I meet or who I know. So it'd be nice to be able to get into maybe public speaking or becoming like an official coach and helping people through these, like so that's kind of one of the aspects and avenues I'm really working through and trying to become involved with. Because I don't know if my outlook's right or wrong, but I know that a lot of people could benefit from knowing that, from whatever happens in your life and whatever how tragic that incident is, like there is, you know, an outcome that they don't really see at this point that it's possible. So, yeah.
It certainly sounds like it's made you personally stronger and more determined.
I don't know if I'm stronger. I mean, everybody's got weak points, so please don't give me too much credit, Anne. But I mean, like I said, it's just, you know, you gotta just deal with what comes. And like I said, I have a great family, great friends, and you know, you just kind of develop this outlook that you just can't really look back on the way things were.
No.
Like all these incidences just create what, you know, a new normal. And that's just kind of
Yeah.
what you got to have going forward. You know, like everything else is in the past, like the new normal is what you have to move forward with. So.
But I think you must be a real inspiration to anyone in these groups that you go to meet to show there can be good outcomes.
I mean, I'd like to think that I help. I hope so. All I know, I mean, I don't do anything for myself. It's really just like when I went through this instance when I was a kid and when I went through it later, the thing is traumatic brain injuries and these types of injuries that I've had, they're kind of like an unknown in society right now. There's a lot of stigma with a TBI and like really what it does to a person. Not only because it's just your brain is such a like a diverse organ that like you've got a bunch of different types of injuries that can result from what area of the brain is hit or how young you are, how able you are to respond, but also because there's just not a lot of information out there. You know, people may have a lot of information as far as like what injury you have and like what you're gonna have to recover. But there's not a lot of injury or information on the recovery process and really what's possible. So going through it myself, like I noticed that when I went to the hospital, say one here, a big hospital here is called Craig Hospital. And when you're hit, you're injured, they try to take care of you, they stick you in a bubble and they try and, you know, make sure that everything is taken off of your life and that's stressful. And they help you heal through this process. But when they send you home, you know, it's all hands off and it's on you, it's on your family, it's on whoever your infrastructure is to deal with the new normal. And it's that process that there really isn't a lot of really great information out there is how to do that, what's possible, and really, you know, the outlook that you have going through that. So, I mean, that's the part that I hope that I can, you know, help people and like talk to them and be like, hey, listen. You know, this is really on you, and but really, how much effort you put into it, like you can get just as much out of it. So, that's kind of my outlook on it, anyway. So,
Did you feel people kind of wrote you off once you'd had a brain injury?
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So when I first got injured when I was a kid, my parents were told by the doctors and all the staff that the most that I was going to end up being was a grocery store attendant or, you know, working at a grocery store. And, you know, that was really all I was going to be able to do. And like, everyone thought that, you know, I was going to be have to go on disability and be super handicapped for the rest of my life. But, like my parents and, you know, me myself, like, I mean, that's really not an option, or at least I didn't want it to be an option. So, like I said, as much effort as you put in, like, you get a lot out. And it's been a lot of years of a lot of work. And, but like, you know, regardless of that, like, you end up in a good place if you put the time in. But everyone did write me off. And yeah, I went to college and did great things. And like, the second time when I got hurt, yeah, everybody did write me off again. And I had to go through a bunch of psychological testing and a bunch of the stuff to get admitted back into the hospital and to be able to work with patients again. And I went through a lot of rehab and made that possible. Unfortunately, I can't fix the depth perception, so you know, medicine's not in my future.
No.
And that's, I'm not unique in that aspect. I mean, everybody gets an injury like this, TBI or whatever extent it is, and people do write you off. And it's sad, but like it is, I'm sure a component of that's human nature. But you just can't let it take it into account, and you just gotta push forward and do it yourself. So that's just kind of,
Understand
yeah, just had to listen to my own words and do it myself. So
to your own normal. So what you said, you took an engineering degree. I mean, and but you couldn't do medicine anymore. So what did you do then once you discovered you couldn't do medicine? Did you change career? Did you use the engineering?
I mean, so like my engineering degree is in chemical engineering, and I've been a long time with that, but I also have a lot of background in computers. So like I just went into like computer software stuff. So and like that, I can do that kind of like remotely since I can't drive. And yeah, it's, it like I said, it's different, but just because things are different doesn't mean they're bad. And so like I have a good time, around a lot of good people, and I don't mind my job. And it's like it's different, but there's good things and different things all the time. So that's,
Wow. That's some attitude that you've got there, Trevor. I'm dead impressed.
oh, I don't know.
You must, as I say, have a certain strength to do that and to move forward.
Yeah.
Have you got other things, other plans that you really intend to achieve in the future?
I like I said, I've been t it's funny. A lot of people tell me, a lot of physicians, a lot of my friends, everybody says I should write a book. And I thought maybe that might be something interesting. I don't know if I care to write, but I can maybe scribble some stuff down. But I really yes, everything's fine right now, but I would like to really get into coaching.
Yeah.
I really like to work with people that have had these types of traumatic incidents happen, because the truth of it is, a lot of people do write you off, and there isn't a lot of resources out there or people to talk to that can give you ideas on how to move through this stuff. And that's an area that I'd like to kind of shift into as time goes.
Definitely.
Something I'm working on, so maybe someday that'll happen. So we'll see. So
Yeah, well, it's a way of using your medicine again, isn't it, really?
yeah, no, it's true. It's kind of, it's unique because like I have had all this stuff happen, and I am a doctor, and so like I've got a very unique perspective on this whole process, both as a physician and as a patient.
And as a patient, yeah.
I just think there's a lot of things in that that people can benefit from. In today's society, it's pretty easy to get information out there. So maybe at some point in time, I'll be able to, reach more people and have an avenue to do that. So it's kind of work in progress. So.
Sounds amazing. Can I just ask you about the transition from hospital to home? You said there wasn't really enough out there. What would you like to see there be, other than somebody like yourself helping people? What else would you think would be helpful to people?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very tough question. It gets into like a bunch of different things, because one, I don't think that insurances cover that type of situation where maybe you need in-home care, maybe you need different avenues to support you. So that's always an issue. So it would fall on financially the parents or whoever it is, or individual. And I just don't think that without fixing that, you can really get more access to things. So that's a huge piece, is that type of funding and support for recovery. Because I mean, there's a large enough issue as it is for just, taking care of the health care initially of the injury, but the recovery process is just as important, if not more. And that's something that takes time, and there's like different aspects of it that it's not financially feasible for someone to take on by themselves. So that is a huge problem. Another issue would be the type of care, because a lot of care that people receive, somebody will come to your house or do something like that, or they'll send you home from the hospital or rehab center with a protocol. And unless you have, one of a family to kick you in the butt like mine, or you have some kind of will to do it yourself, there's not really a good oversight. So in my rehab community, so I don't know how you would increase that, but there's got to be a way to be able to help people more consistently rather than such a periodic basis, like a month or a week, or you go do this and we'll see you for. So it's just got to be something that's more consistent, and it's got to be something that's funded more by insurance companies or whatever things those may be, because it is something that is neglected beyond the initial insult. And more important than the initial insult is that recovery process, because if you can't find a way to go through those types of whatever therapies or things you need, then the recovery initially is going to be a moot point. You're not going to be able to recover to what you want to. So it's kind of a.
I can go along with what you're saying. A friend of mine actually had an accident off her bike 6 months ago and had a brain injury that was really very serious. And she had a lot of input from the hospital and then some period of rehab as well, and then went home and there was a little bit of input, but after not many weeks, it all came to a halt. She can't work at the moment and she can't drive either. And obviously her husband still has to go off to work, and she is then relying on friends to just fill gaps, really, but with no actual focus. So I can see where you're coming from, that to have some sort of program for people, to just give them plans for what they should be doing to help their recovery.
No, exactly. And that is really the problem with injuries in general, severe injuries specifically, traumatic brain injuries like in my case and other things. But that you go to the hospital and they put a Band-Aid on you, but they ship you home with gaping wounds and just wish you the best. And unless you have a kind of an infrastructure and a system that's built into society and help people recover back to where they were, they never will get there unless they've got that kind of support. And like, in your friend's situation, yeah, that's gonna be, a hard thing going forward. Luckily, she's got, a husband and friends and family that can help her, but many people don't have that situation. And sadly, you have these types of injuries, and it's not that people can't recover, it's just that they don't have the support to get through it. Because with a traumatic brain injury or these other types of serious injuries, it's not, it's not a couple week month process. Like it's a time course that if you don't have the right, aspects of it, you're not going to be able to fulfill whatever it is that you're hoping for. So,
So really, it's a case of convincing somebody who can finance these things
yes.
that the investment of time in the people that need it will pay off in the end, because it will make them more useful and more content and
Very
everything
true.
in their world.
Yeah, I mean, like for like instance, like the everyone's very quick to throw people on like disability or whatever disability, or just give them Medicare, Medicaid, whatever. But the thing is like if they just supported them and allowed them a chance to recover, I really think that it would cut down on the cost long term.
I agree.
But getting people to see that was always the hard
That's a big job for us all.
It is. It's just such a huge area, isn't it? And I suppose, you know, each individual has to be a very kind of bespoke package of care, you know, because brain injury is so specific, isn't it? You know, it's and varies incredibly from one individual to the other. So I suppose, it's someone to put that effort and time in as well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a hard avenue. I mean, whether it be a TBI or, you know, a broken back or whatever it is, it's just, there's, you know, a slew of injuries that, you know, people don't have the resources available to fully recover from them. So you'll have the initial insult, you know, among all of these injuries, and then, you know, full recovery is not really possible because they're lacking in the areas that would allow them to recover. So yeah, like I said, going forward in Medicare situation or healthcare situations, like it's very difficult to get people grow funds and time, you know, and help people recover from these types of incidents and injuries. So I wish I was a wizard and I could just, you know, wave a wand and like make Washington or, you know, government understand these situations and put resources towards it. But I don't know how that would happen otherwise, unless that does happen in the situation of government or funding and things. But I guess if you get through injuries such as mine or whatever, going forward, it really does help to talk to somebody that has been through it, because a lot of people, like I said, when you get out of the hospital, they forget about you. And if you don't have that type of support emotionally and physically, you're just going to fall short of where you could be. So
it has been fascinating, and I can see you going on to do great things. I shall be looking out for this and for your book.
All right.
Thank you very, very much for talking to us.
No, I'm very thankful for the chance to talk to you guys. It's great. This is actually my first podcast, so like I had a great time, and I hope it wasn't too bad. And no, I really very grateful for the opportunity to come talk to you guys.
I think you just need to have the right person hear your ideas and get that financial backing that would take you on to do good things for a lot of people.
Well, I really much appreciate it, and hopefully that happens. We'll see, and maybe one day I'll send you guys a copy of my book. We'll see.
Thank you, Trevor.
So many of us consider being able to walk and talk normal. Yet Trevor had to fight his way back, not just once, but twice, to his new normal. So many of you, and several of our guests, have had to do the same. If you listen to episode 2 with Brian Wheeler, you'll have heard how he fought his way back from paralysis, and he's recently just completed walking the New York Marathon. So huge congratulations to Brian. Do listen to his episode. Every single one of our guests constantly amazes us with their resilience and fortitude. Thank you also to you, our listeners, for all your feedback and suggestions. We do listen, so please keep giving us your feedback. You can contact us via Instagram, via our Facebook page, or email at unexpectedturnspod@aol.com. In fact, following your feedback, our next episode will be a follow-up episode with Jack Gregory, where you will hear some of his poetry and more about where he is and what he is doing now. So until then, take care.